think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
But first, some breaking news to report here. The Biden administration now telling NBC News it is considering taking executive action to prevent illegal crossings at the southern border. Now, the plans are still being drafted, so executive action will not be taken anytime soon. This all comes as Congress appears unlikely to pass any legislation on border security after today's bipartisan border bill was blocked by Republicans in the Senate.
Well, what do you know? Biden thinking about executive action to shut down the border? You think it's possibly true? And likely? Let me put it this way. Politics has a lot to do with timing. And when you're facing an obstacle, an immovable object, and it's making you look bad, the best thing to do is wipe it out. And right now, the border is making Joe Biden look really bad. And since they would not move forward on that border farce bill that was supposedly, even as the Border Patrol Chief Union said, and I fully disagree with them, saying it would have handcuffed Biden, so therefore he could not violate, he would not be able to just simply allow more than 5,000 over a seven-day period or more than 8,500 in on one day. Do you think he was going to follow that one since he's already ignoring what he's got in front of him and has had? Has any other president had this kind of issue? Well, there have been illegals crossing for decades, all the way back into the 50s and then before then. But has any president had this kind of massive invasion, other than Joe Biden? And why? Because even Secretary Mayorkas said, well, there's the pull factor. The pull factor is, hey, the border's open. If you come over here, we'll let you in. So they come over. And there's also the look the other way. Don't do anything about it. And, of course, the third pressing point is, if we let them come in, they'll become good Democrat voters. I don't think that would happen, but let them go ahead and think that. All right, we got a lot to cover for you. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, Feb 8, 2024, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you, right here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. You can watch the program. Look right at me as I'm watching you. At News Talk STL Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. If you miss any part of either the video or the audio, you want to go back and look again, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. And you can pull it up and listen to it, watch it at your pleasure. And same thing with Larry Connors USA Facebook. And when you do, push share. Send it to others. I'm hearing from people all the time, you know, I didn't even know you had the program until somebody sent it to me. Well, you know what, guys? We got to get the word out there more. This is an essential program Monday through Friday. It is, let me put it this way. It's an appointment for you. But I understand if you can't watch or listen every 6 to 8, Monday through Friday. That's why we make the podcast available, so you can pull it up and watch as you can. All right, so this proposal that NBC is claiming that they have sources inside the Biden White House saying Joe Biden's about ready to act, and to read it exactly the way they said it on NBC, the Biden administration is considering taking executive action to deter illegal immigration. Oh, my God. They use the word illegal. NBC used the word illegal. Normally, they would say deter migrants from entering. But they use the word illegal, recognizing it is illegal. Let me read it again, without stopping for my shock. The Biden administration is considering taking executive action to deter illegal migration across the southern border, according to two U.S. officials. The plans have been under consideration for months. You know why? Because they thought, we may not get this border thing through. It's a farce, we know it, and they're going to find it out that once we finally release it, and then we're going to have to figure out something else because elections are coming up, and timing is everything in politics. Stuart Varney brought up that piece with Senator Ted Cruz.
NBC News is now suggesting that the president will issue executive orders to halt the flow or stem the flow. In other words, he's going to do what you wanted him to do, and he's going to take the credit. Because if that flow slows down, he'll come right in there and say, look what we did. We fixed it.
Well, Stuart, I believe it when I see it, but he caused this problem. So let's just review a little bit of history. When Joe Biden came into office, he inherited the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. Under President Trump, we had made enormous progress securing the border, and all Joe Biden had to do was not screw it up. Instead, what did he do? He deliberately, on day one, broke the border.
He did break the border. How did he do that? Well, a variety of ways. I mean, to detail it for you, he began by stopping the border wall construction. And he also killed the Remain in Mexico plan that Trump had in place. And, of course, don't forget he allowed, once again, you can catch but release. I'll let that go back into play. All of that broke the border. And, of course, you have the Democrat border fail plan, their farce did not pass the smell test. And thank God for that. Once again, back to Stuart Varney and Ted Cruz.
Let me quote from the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Here we go. The death of the border deal is a bloody-minded operation by Mr. Trump and his allies to flog border chaos through November, and if possible, bring down Mitch McConnell as Senate GOP leader. End quote. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, joins me now and no doubt heard exactly what I just said. Mr. Senator, Republican chaos helps the president, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't at all. And this border deal was misguided from the beginning. Why is that? Because this deal was drafted by the Democrats. It was negotiated with the Democrats, and it was designed not to secure the border.
That's exactly what it was. It's never designed to secure the border. And they kept it in a secret, working in the back room and then coming out claiming it's a bipartisan deal. Mitch McConnell signed on to it. Well, there's a problem right there, and we're going to deal with him a little bit later. Should have been dealt with a year ago, more than a year ago. And also got Congressman, or rather Senator Lankford of Oklahoma to step in and kind of help push it through as well. He got sold a bill of goods. I don't think that Oklahoma guy is very good at horse trading. Maybe we should get together and make a deal. I'd like to try that. But the other part of this is, Cruz explains the reality of what has now happened.
It was designed to take Joe Biden's open borders and put it into law. This bill on its face codified open borders. This bill on its face codified catch and release. This bill on its face normalized 1.8 million illegal aliens a year. That would be 6 million illegal aliens over the 3 years of Joe Biden's presidency. We've in fact had 9.6 million illegal aliens. And so what Senate Republican leadership was basically saying is we're for two-thirds of Joe Biden's open borders. That was really foolish. Not only that, this bill gave illegal aliens lawyers paid for by the tax funds, and it also gave them immediate work permits. This was a bad bill, okay. which is why they kept the text secret for months.
Okay.
They released it Sunday night, and within 24 hours, the bill was dead because Republicans understood they couldn't support a bill that leaves the border open.
Obviously not. And on top of that, when they released it, they were sure the state-controlled media would carry it across the finish line for them. Because They kept talking about, look, it's going to give the president emergency authority to shut down the border. You don't need emergency authority. And Joe Biden knows it, because in 2006, Joe Biden signed, as a senator, Secure the Fences Act. That was a border act. Secure the Fences, 2006. He knows that exists. He knows there are all kinds of options already on the table for him to shut down the border. He didn't need additional authorization. If he's not going to use what he's got in hand, why the hell do you think he would use the others? Just because, again, they were hoping they'd get it passed through and they could get more votes. Well, even there, as I said, that could be a false premise for them. Let me share this with you. This is a Gallup survey. Gallup. And it says, among black Americans expressing a party preference, the Democrat lead over Republicans has dropped by almost 20% in barely 3 years. 3 years. Who's been in office in those 3 years? Oh, yeah, Joe Biden. All right, let's deal with the border issue and those coming across, mostly Hispanic descent of some type, and, of course, a lot of Chinese as well. The Democrat lead among Hispanic adults and adults aged 18 to 29 also slid by almost the same degree, leaving the Democrat Party with only a modest advantage as it readies for the challenge of a 2024 campaign. Gallup said, these shifts in party affiliation of these key subgroups provide the demographic backstory for how Democrats went from enjoying significant leads over Republicans between 2012 and 2021 to slight deficits in 2022 and 2023. And 2024 is going to be another unveiling. All right, so Tucker Carlson interviews Russian President Putin, and the howls of condemnation from the left and their state-controlled media is right in your face.
One of the leaders of the MAGA GOP is in Moscow tonight. It's the man you see here with the MAGA leader Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson. Possibly there in Moscow to interview Putin. Definitely there as a Putin-supporting celebrity. Just listen to how Russian state media is breathlessly celebrating his visit.
Independent journalist Tucker Carlson has flown to Russia from the U.S. via Turkey to Vnukovo Airport. He saw Spartacus Ballet at the Bolshoi Theater, had lunch in a nice restaurant, went for a ride around town, rode the subway. He charged his smartphone via a USB port and connected to a fast and free Wi-Fi internet.
He charged his phone, although they're knowing the details about the fact that it was during USB port may give him reason to think twice about all of this. But look at them talking about him like a celebrity. Everything he does on camera, breathlessly repeated.
Yeah, and CNN and NBC do the same thing. Now, riddle me this. What would CNN and NBC have been reporting if Cooper Cottonmouth Anderson had scored this interview with Putin? 180 degrees. You're right. You're right. And listen, getting an interview with Putin, that's a big deal. But apparently none of the others even wanted to, or they tried, or maybe they feared if they went over there and asked tough questions, it'd be locked up, which is possible. Of course, Tucker has to ask tough questions. That should be part of his thing. And he should also ask about a Wall Street Journal reporter being held in jail for basically no reason. Again, mocked up charges by the Russians. When you get a chance to interview somebody like that, you're going to take it. CNN, MSNBC, CBS, they all interviewed the Ayatollah, the guy responsible for killing Americans in our 9/11 attacks, and ready and responsible for killing anyone anywhere if you disagreed with his religion, not just those living in Ukraine. But they saw no problem or flaw in doing that, and I don't either. I mean, as a reporter, go and get the questions. If you can score the interview, you get it. But don't go in there with softball questions. You press him. But again, in the view of CNN, Tucker went in because they knew he was, well, he was almost wearing a Russian military uniform in their view.
He's a hero. This was Putin's mouthpiece in the United States, somebody who had turned a blind eye to the atrocities committed by Putin because they were happening far away. Once vibrant towns turned to ruins, mass graves with dozens of bodies in the Kyiv suburbs, a theater full of innocent women and children sheltering, bombed despite the giant world children written on the roof, more than 200,000 Ukrainian soldiers killed or injured. And tonight, Putin is trying to seize on the fact that Zelensky's military appears to be in turmoil, capitalizing on a moment of intense American political dysfunction.
A moment of American dysfunction? We've had several moments of dysfunction. And you, the state-controlled media, are partly, maybe more than partly, responsible for the dysfunction we now have in this nation. Don't sit there and wring your hands talking about, oh my, Tucker Carlson, a friend of Putin, went in. Tucker Carlson made it very clear. He said we'd need to ask some questions because you, the American people, are paying for this war over and over. And what do you really know about it? What should you know? We did the same thing during Vietnam, did we not? Yes, we did. And when Walter Cronkite went over and started looking at Vietnam and came back and said, we can't win this war, we shouldn't be there, LBJ said, well, if we've lost Walter Cronkite, we've lost the nation. They want it to appear that Tucker is hand-in-hand with Putin destroying Ukraine and bombing children in shelters. I have yet to hear CNN and NNN complain and condemn Hamas for hiding under baby beds in Gaza and inside hospitals, knowing that if the Israelis went after them, they'd end up having collateral damage. That is why we have 25,000-plus dead Palestinians in Gaza. Not because they were targeted directly, but because to get to Hamas, you got to get through their human shield. And they really, Hamas didn't really care. They love the publicity that you're killing innocent people. What kind of enemy does that? The ones that should be wiped off the face of the earth and spend eternity in hell. All right, we got a lot yet to cover coming up. I'm telling you right now, you can't get out of your car now. If you do, you better rush back in and turn the radio back on or pick up the podcast later and let your friends and family know about it as well. Always do that. In the next hour, a backhanded compliment. Larry, you've never looked better. That's a backhanded compliment. But you're going to hear it as only Louisiana Senator John Kennedy can deliver it to our Treasury Secretary. Also, before this hour is over, the Supreme Court, of course, dealing with states trying to keep Trump off their ballots, plus more rumors that Michelle Obama's ready to push Kamala out and then help drag, and she would have to drag Joe Biden over the finish line. Really true or just rumor? And then Super Bowl Sunday coming up, of course, and Bud Light will try to make a comeback. Could it be successful? That's next when we continue. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have our guest coming up, Terry Schilling. He's with the American Principles Project. And we're looking at the issue. In fact, Terry Schilling got quoted over the recent days in a Fox Business story about the idea that Bud Light is trying to make a comeback, and they're going to do it on Super Bowl weekend. Now, the other thing to keep in play here is we've already had UFC President Dana White talk about trying to make it Bud Light, the UFC official beer, help them out. We've also, of course, now seen that Donald Trump says, okay, it's time to go ahead and help them recover and move forward. And some are saying, well, are they giving money to his campaign? They may well be. But, of course, he's also a businessman. And the other thing is, I did not ever on this program call for a boycott of Bud Light. I leave that to you, if you want to or not. See, I believe that when you call for a boycott on one case, you better be ready to do it all the time. And my position is, you, the American consumer, make your own decisions. But joining us now, Terry Schilling, American Principles Project. Terry, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
So I was looking at a piece that you were quoted on with Fox News talking about, you said basically the reason they got so much backlash and frustration been building among the American public over radical change being shoved at them. Go ahead and take it from there.
Well, that's exactly right. So, you know, for the past decade, or probably a little bit longer, every elite institution has been pushing lies on us. And it's not just the gender insanity. It's not just the LGBT movement. It's everything. It's this diversity, equity, inclusion. It's telling us up is down and down is up. It's a constant propaganda stream. And what happened with the Bud Light controversy is they had some marketing executives that thought it would be a great idea to change their brand entirely, to actually go to war mm-hmm. with their customer base that had been so loyal to them, that had actually built the company and built the brand.
Blue collar workers for the most part.
Blue collar workers, the people that built this country, yeah. Right? They keep it running every day. They decided to put thumb their nose at them, poke their eyes, and put a transgender man on the cover and pretend like it's a woman. And it was an amazing and awesome backlash. And I think that they've obviously gotten their message. Now, we'll have to see if they've really learned their lesson or if they try this stunt again. But I think they would be in very poor judgment to do something even close to this again, because they're already down 30% year over year on their profits. And if they do this again, it will go down to 100% losses. right? This will bankrupt the company if they do it again. They will lose. There's still a lot of people that buy Budweiser and Bud Light and have given them a pass, and now they're trying to rectify it. They're giving to conservatives. They're supporting Donald Trump, apparently doing fundraisers for him. I think that when people start to show remorse and actually start to try to rectify things, I think you should be positive about it. Correct them when they do wrong and reward them when they start to do right things.
So remember when the backlash first started, they were just going to swat it away. Oh, yeah, we expected the MAGA extremists to come out and start challenging us. They say we expected that, but then it grew bigger and bigger. And they were then saying, well, the person who came up with the concept is moving on. And they kept passing it on to this brand manager, that brand manager. And then finally, as we see with the numbers, and that's where any company deals, the bottom line, when it takes a plunge you just described, they're thinking, holy hell, we got to turn this around.
Right. And look, I was very clear. They deserve it. Right. And they are not owed forgiveness by anyone. And I want to be clear about that. But they're going to try, and if people think that they're sincere and if they don't pull this up again, you know, why make them continue to suffer? I mean, we have to be reasonable here. This really is.
You don't want to whip and whip and whip the person, just whipping just to be whipping because they're still standing there.
I think the message was received, right? The scalp was collected, and there are people that are still unhappy with what they're doing to fix the situation, and that's fine. I hope they keep doing more to fix the situation, and I think they need to donate to a lot more conservative organizations that actually love this country, and that, mm-hmm. you know, that customer base was way more conservative, way more Republican, and they were trying to change that, right? It was a huge finger in the eye.
You think they would have seen, watching what was happening with Disney as they were doing all their wokeness and other corporations, and Disney in particular, since it deals with children directly, you think Bud Light would have recognized, you know, why do we even want to get wrapped up in this woke? Well, because we've got decisions to our DEI program to bring all the woke people on board, put them in board positions and give them the power and authority. And we took it.
Well, Larry, there are a lot of reasons why these companies do this stupid stuff. And it's mostly ideological, but a lot of it's driven by stockholder activism. And it's control. You know, these companies, most of them are owned by enormous conglomerates like right. BlackRock, right? And they push this ESG, the social and governance stuff, environmental, social, and governance stuff, and it's a total nightmare. So, but also, these executives, these aren't people that rose through the company, that worked their way up, that earned their keep. They're just spoiled brats that went to Harvard and Yale, that had parents that went to these Ivy Leagues. They just walk in and think they own the place. We need to get back to a merit-based system where people actually earn the positions that they go for and that they hold in these companies, and not just because they have a college degree or went to some good school. You don't know anything about the real world until you've worked in it.
And the other point being there is that there are a lot of those pension plans of blue-collar workers that had money invested in Anheuser-Busch. They all took a hit while this Bud Light debacle went under.
Well, that's where this is explained mostly because of the ideology, and that's a large part due to the colleges that these kids are going to. But they're fine tanking a company. They're fine with bankrupting people's 401k because they're colonizers, mm-hmm. they're oppressors, right? Mm-hmm. These are people that earned all this money unfairly and unjustly mm-hmm. at the expense of the oppressed people in this country. It's the slaves that built this country, not everyday Americans. They had nothing to do with it, right? This is what they believe.
I'm thinking of a kid who says to the parents, you know, and of course, most kids when we're growing up, we're sure we're smarter than our parents. Sometimes we come away from college, we realize, oh, actually, they were smarter. But I can remember thinking, kids, you know, you guys shouldn't be driving gas cars. You should be pedaling a bicycle or where like I do. But then when they become 16, hey, can I have the keys to the car? I have a new view.
No, that's exactly right. But these, I think you're right with that child comparison. I mean, these are just larger and, you know, more physically grown toddlers, right? They kick and scream. They protest in the streets. They burn buildings down. They throw temper tantrums, right? Over people that they don't even know, over causes that they really don't even care about.
So what was your thought when Donald Trump announced it? It's time for us to, except Bud Light and bring it back.
Look, he's the president, right? And
well, he's not now, and he wasn't just recently, but when he made that statement. But he's also a businessman.
Well, that's exactly right. And if he's coming out and saying, let's give him a shot, people are going to listen to him or they're not, right? Okay. And here's the thing. He's signaling that out of something, right? And it could be that Budweiser is now deciding to help support his campaign. But isn't that a good thing?
Well, right? Now, I mean, I'm transactional. I'm sure they support a lot of campaign, but I did raise that. Is it a buy to get Trump in? In other words, the man who claims he can't be bought, that he did it because he's getting campaign money from Anheuser-Busch.
Well, I don't know why he's doing it, but at the end of the day, this is part of the goal. We need to get these companies donating to Republicans again. Right now, these big corporations, these wealthy billionaires, they don't donate to Republicans because they don't fear them. They don't fear them getting back into power, and they don't fear them using the power. So by Anheuser-Busch going to Donald Trump, what they're actually recognizing, this is important to understand, they're recognizing that they need Donald Trump to get his supporters to start buying their beer again. They are bending a knee to Donald Trump. And we shouldn't just dismiss this as something that's meaningless or pay to play, right? And no, but it's meaningful. Like, they are, but all of their friends, when they go to parties, they are going to get hell from their peers. And they're going to have to defend donating and supporting Donald Trump now, right? So, like, we're mad. It looks like pay to play, or whatever. It's not pay to play, right? This is how politics works,
right?
Right? When people are doing good things for you, you say nice things about them. And so we want more of these companies donating to Republicans because it means that they're worried we're going to get back into power. It means that they're worried we're going to start using that power. This is the cultural importance of Donald Trump. This is the difference between Donald Trump and George W. Bush, right? That Bush got us to where we weakened the Republican Party entirely. We basically castrated the Republican Party. You know, this is the Republican Party is the party that built the interstate highway system, that won the Cold War, that ended slavery, won the Civil War. We've done great things. We have an amazing history, but now we can't even secure the border. Now we can't even stop Democrats from giving sex changes to kids, right? But that's all changing now because of Donald Trump and him showing us how to fight and to make the corporations and the powerful bend a knee to us again.
I'll be honest with you.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'll be honest with you. My audience knows I play poker from time to time. And if a guy at the table orders a Bud Light, we all give him some kind of noise. And we probably still will. And he said, well, I like it. I said, well, good. Then you enjoy it. You're still going to get some nonsense from us. But, as far as the, Super Bowl buy they're putting in, 30 seconds, how do you think that's going to work out for them?
Look, they're going to need to do a lot more than just buy a few Super Bowl ads, but you know, they bought three of them. They're paying $21 million. And so my question to them isn't whether or not this is going to work. It's whether or not it was worth it, right? Was all of the damage, were all the financial losses that were caused by you guys putting a transgender confused male on your can, was it worth it?
No.
And it wasn't. Obviously it wasn't.
All right. Well, based on that analysis, what's your bet on the KC San Fran game and the over underline?
You know what? I'm going. Okay. So here's the thing. I feel much more confident about San Francisco winning, but I don't know how I feel. I'd go under 47.5.
Okay. Thanks very much, Terry Schilling with the American Principles Project. We always appreciate it. Coming up, I do thank you. And coming up, of course, the Supreme Court is looking at states trying to kick Trump off the ballot. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There are numerous reasons why it doesn't apply to Donald Trump. Let me give you the most obvious one. The language, if you look at the actual text, it doesn't actually apply to the former president. And here's why. If you look at it carefully, what it says is if you took an oath to support the Constitution previously as either a state official, a member of Congress, or an officer of the United States, then the disqualification clause applies to you. Donald Trump's never been a state official. He was never a member of Congress. And the U.S. Supreme Court has said that an officer of the United States is someone who is appointed to office, not elected. They first said this in 1888 in the case. They repeated it just a decade ago.
That is Hans von Spakovsky. We have him on often, obviously. Constitutional expert from the Heritage Foundation, laying out the basis as to why the Supreme Court will not accept these states that are going to try to keep Trump off the ballot. The focus is on Colorado right now. And, of course, it is the focus, but it also will have ripple effects going forward. And everything that's been coming down even earlier in the day, let me put it this way, just earlier in the day, I mean, word was already evident, but even before noon today, that the way it was going in oral arguments, the court was going to say, no, you can't keep him off the ballot. Boy, there are going to be a lot of people upset, but I want to share this with you. This is a piece by CNN and NNN. It is an opinion piece written by Tristan Snell. Now, to put this in perspective before I even start reading it, and of course, he wrote this before the court was in session to start the case today. He is the author of the book called Taking Down Trump. Does that give you an idea of which way he's going to go? And, of course, he begins talking about the Supreme Court, saying that weighing the question whether the former president has been disqualified from office by engaging in an insurrection, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And you just heard Hans von Spakovsky say, no, it does not apply to him. He was elected. He wasn't appointed. And it only involves to those being appointed. We're going to spend more on the Hans von Spakovsky view in the second hour anyway. But the Colorado Supreme Court, which is blue anyway, and they wanted to get him off the ballot. That's where they decided to rule that the Trump could be disqualified because of that, because of the January 6th attack, which interfered with certification of the Electoral College and the former president's, quote, overall scheme to overturn the 2020 election. So here's the view of Kristen Snell writing this opinion piece. Keep in mind, this is an opinion piece. He said, there are two factual questions at the core of the case. Was January 6th an insurrection? No, it wasn't. I'll answer that for you. It wasn't. An insurrection is trying to overthrow the government. You don't overthrow the government if you come in with just shouts and yells. And even though I did not like the way it went down, and some got caught up in something they didn't mean to get caught up in, and those who were punching and attacking police standing guard, they're wrong. But if they were attacked by police and defending and fighting back, then you got another issue. But the bottom line is only one gun was found among those arrested and taken into custody. And it was never flashed or shown to anyone. As they say sometimes in news reports, I always say they displayed a gun. They didn't display it. It was in his backpack or pocket when they stopped a guy. And I think one knife might have been taken in. But you don't overthrow a government unless you have the military strength and power or the weapons to do it. So I'll answer the question for this Tristan Snell. So we asked, again, two factual questions at the core of the case. Was January 6th an insurrection? No. Second question, did Trump, quote, engage in it? Engage, what does that mean? Well, I could find a lot of different meanings, but the bottom line is, was he there? Was he taking part directly? No. Are you going to say that he suggested it? Does that mean engaging? It's like the guy that gives the girl the ring, an engagement ring. Doesn't mean he really plans on marrying her, does it? He just took that step. And he then adds, fortunately, the Supreme Court need not look too far for answers. They can simply look across the street, the Capitol, where majorities of both chambers of Congress already found that January 6th was an insurrection and that Trump was not only engaged in it, but incited it. Stop right there. Those are decisions by elected officials, members of Congress, not a judge nor jury. But he goes on to say, this may come as a shock when, one might ask, did Congress ever hold such votes? And he's talking about the impeachment of Trump and the majorities of both the House and Senate backing impeachment for Trump for incitement, which he was not convicted of. I don't care what he talks about the majority of both houses. When it came down to the ruling, the Senate said, no, we're not convicting. Again, he said, if we're looking, he wraps up his opinion piece, and that's all this is, an opinion piece. He does add, there was a finding of fact by majorities of our elected representatives after a full public trial, that is the impeachment case, in which Trump was able to mount a defense, and it seemed to be persuasive, if not conclusive, in answering the factual question before the court. Was there an insurrection? Did Trump incite it? No, that did not do that. Those are just the rulings of political activists. How many times did Congressman Adam Schefflis come out and say, we got him, we got him? I can't tell you all details, but we got him. And I got a witness, by the way. I got a witness, and I got evidence. I never brought forth the witness he said he had. He never showed the evidence. He kept pushing it back and pushing it back, thinking everybody may forget it. See, I can come out and brag to you. I am the best news, radio, TV anchor, columnist since ever. How are you going to disapprove? What are you going to do? You going to bring up somebody like Cronkite, or you going to bring up somebody like Limbaugh or somebody like that and say they're better? Well, that's your opinion. My opinion is I am. But actually, I would agree with you, to be quite honest. But here we have this, what's his name again? I've already tried to block him out of my mind. Tristan Snell. Should be Tristan Sniffles. Anyway, he said, to be clear, if we're going to look for some additional fact-based determination, he's calling it fact-based determination, of whether Trump engaged in insurrection. Congress has already provided us with one. The Supreme Court should look no further. How stupid is this guy going to look against the Supreme Court ruling? Those of you who seem to love watching, and I'm always glad to have you, this is one of those times where it's worth watching. I would, quite honestly, if I had a box of matches. No, it'd be too dangerous. I got too many papers in here, but that's about what I would like to do with it. Now, the other question that's facing Republicans in general, and we've raised this before, and Stuart Varney raised it again with Ted Cruz, and that is, after this farce of a border bill that was presented as this is the solve everything, and Senator Mitch McConnell, the GOP leader in the Senate, went along with it, being led by the nose, and Ted Cruz has asked, is it time for Mitch to be shown the door?
I think it is well past time. I think there have been a lot of enormous mistakes, but this mistake was the worst. And throughout this battle, he goes out, and what he is saying is benefiting Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. Why did Chuck Schumer do this misguided border deal? He knew that he wasn't going to give in on anything to actually secure the border. The reason he did it is Schumer wanted this to fail. Why? Because every single Democrat running for office, every Democrat Senate candidate, every Democrat House candidate is now out saying, gosh, I wanted to secure the border, but the mean old Republicans wouldn't let us. And that was spectacularly stupid. And what's frustrating, Stuart, Mitch McConnell is saying the exact same thing that Chuck Schumer is. I think that is malpractice for the leader of a party in the Senate.
I love the word malpractice as leader of the Senate from Senator Ted Cruz, who is a lawyer and certainly knows the law, obviously. And on top of that, keep in mind, as we started this program today, word circulating that Joe Biden may use an executive order to shut the border and take credit for it. Well, you know what? I'm going to let him go ahead and shut the border and he can take all the credit he wants. If he will truly shut the border, hallelujah. But he's not getting my support going forward. Oh, and to that extent, Karl Rove was deputy chief of staff for George W. Bush. Now he's a GOP strategist. You want to set Karl Rove on fire? Here's how you do it. Ask him about Michelle Obama joining with Biden.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
She hates politics. Read her autobiography. She didn't want her husband to run for the state Senate. She didn't want him to run for the president. She is not a political animal. And besides, look, Barack Obama was my charge at the White House. I dealt with him for 3 years. He's a smart guy. He would know that if Michelle Obama woke up tomorrow and said, you know what, I've decided after a life of hating politics, I want to be the vice presidential running mate or run for president, people would say, you know what, that's Barack trying to get a third term as president, and they wouldn't go for it. But the starting point is she hates politics. This is a weird obsession of the conspiratorial right, and it's just lunacy, pure lunacy. I had to deal with this in 2020 when this was running through the President Trump's reelection campaign. They thought somehow or another Biden was going to be pushed aside by Obama. Andrew Cuomo was going to be the Democratic candidate, and his running mate was going to be Michelle Obama. And you know, I told the Trump people, including the president himself, this is sheer utter lunacy. Starting with the fact she hates politics. Period. She loves the life she's got.
And she also hates America overall. Remember Michelle Obama? About a year and a half or so, maybe even longer than that, into the Obama presidency, saying, I've never felt proud of America till now. Of course, Carl was reacting to the idea that Obama, being one of the most popular Democrats of the country, who's going to be news to Bill Clinton, he thought he was, then maybe she could come in on his coattails to make it happen. Now, this idea that you heard him refer to the extremists that are coming up with this idea, the far-right extremists, one of those who started floating this idea just last month, although this article I'm reading gives, quote, credit, blame to this person. And I'll always remind you, there's a thin line between credit and blame. But the way it's written here, it is that it's giving credit, saying it was floated originally. It's not true. It was not originally floated by this person. Many were whispering about it from time to time. But floated by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican, Georgia, just last month. Just last month? Come on. You heard Karl Rove speak that they were talking about putting her on the second part of the ticket running against Trump to begin with. Now, here's something Karl Rove does accept. He sees exactly what all of America sees and all of the international watchers see when it comes to Joe Biden. We saw how he stumbled around recalling, and we can all make mistakes, okay? And as you get older, you might slip a couple degrees. That's understandable. But at some point, you have to say, well, if you're going to slip that much, you can't really be president, or you're not fit to be. And he should enact the 25th Amendment and get him out. But beyond that, Biden the other day talking about Mitterrand, just talking to him the other day. The guy's been dead 20-plus years. And, of course, the White House spokeswoman, KJP, said, well, that was a slip of the tongue. Anybody could have done it. She's right about that. I'm going to give her credit. We could do that. There have been times, I hate to admit it, and I wish I could go back and erase the podcast where I did it, but I've accidentally been talking about Biden, and I use the name Trump. And they tell me, what am I doing? Yeah, Larry, you need to get off the program. You're too old. Well, come try to kick me out of here. I'm not moving right away. I'm chained. I'm chained right here to this desk. You're not going to unshackle my chain. But Karl Rove does recognize somebody's got to get to Joe Biden. Somebody in his inner circle.
Something inside me says somebody's going to wake up on that side, Jill Biden or maybe a sister, Valerie Biden Owen, and say, you know, Joe, this is not the way for you to go down in the history books. Step aside, let somebody else be chosen at the convention, and let somebody else be go into the lists against Donald Trump in the fall. I just think the Democrats are not going to allow this to continue.
You think that's how it's going to happen? Somebody close to the president, family member, goes to him and says, just like they went to Nixon and say, time's up, Mr. President, step aside.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Nixon, it was Senator Barry Goldwater who led a group of senators to say your time is up. But I think Biden is impervious to that kind of input. I think it would have to be a family member. And look, I don't know. This may be hope rather than an expectation. This may be what I think would be best for him and best for the country and, frankly, best for the Democrats. I mean, Joe Biden thinks he is the only person who can beat Donald Trump in the Democratic Party. He may be the only person who can lose to Donald Trump.
That's Karl Rove, strategist, political GOP strategist. All right, coming up in the second hour, we're, of course, more on the U.S. Supreme Court regarding Trump being kicked off the ballot in Colorado and plans to do so in other states. And also Tucker Carlson daring to go to Moscow to interview Putin. And then Los Angeles, there's my slip right there. Louisiana Senator John F. Kennedy praising Janet Yellen. But when you hear the praise, you're going to snicker and say, that's a backhanded compliment. I know that when I see it. You don't want to go anywhere. We've got a lot to come up. Let your family and friends know we're on the air now. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.